Welcome to the Lucra Podcast. I'm your host, Mindy Kinnis. My goal is to fan the flame of the dream in your heart. As my guests and I share our journeys on the path to success, you'll get an insider's look at how we got to where we are and the beliefs that create our reality. When you follow your heart path to ignite your mind and delight your spirit, you can create a lucrative life of freedom and purpose. Enjoy the show. Welcome back, my friends. I have an amazing show for you today because I'm joined by my friend, Rich Gurman. Now, I was thinking about this morning, Rich. If I had to pick a new job and just like start fresh and do something completely different than anything else that I have done in the past, I think I would do what you are doing. So I'm super stoked to talk about that and talk about your journey. So welcome to the show.
Wow. I'm glad to be here, Minnie. That's a very cool way to open this. I'm trying to figure out what I actually do.
Maybe we'll get some clarity through this conversation.
Okay, good.
So Rich is the founder of the JV Insider Circle, well known in the entrepreneurial space, and also Project O, which is a nonprofit. So what we're going to talk about today is like how those worlds combine or not, how they intersect, and a lot about his journey along the way. So to give our audience a little bit better understanding about what it is that you do, I mean, to the extent that you have clarity on it, how would you describe it?
Oh, God. Like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll work our way back. Like, we'll reverse engineer.
We'll go out of order. I like that. So I would imagine what I'm most known for, and I'm going to assume is what you were referring to, is I'm the guy that wakes up every morning, grabs his paddleboard, goes out into the ocean here in Laguna Beach, paddleboards with whales and dolphins, has a camera in his pocket and a GoPro on his hat, and I take photos and I shoot video every day of my encounters. And I've been doing that basically every day for the last 13 years, since 2010. And just doing that every day has led to many opportunities to kind of give back in the ocean space. So is that what you were referring to?
100%. I would love to just wake up every day and go paddleboarding. I mean, for me, it doesn't make sense since I live in Arizona.
I was going to say you live in the desert. So that
is a problem.
Might be hard.
But just watching your footage and seeing your photos, OMG, there's some amazing, amazing stuff on there. And just like purely, I would guess, and you can speak to this better, transformative experiences, just being that close to huge, amazing wildlife like that.
I've calculated that I've paddled almost 30,000 miles since 2010. And the circumference of the planet's 24,901. So I've paddled more than the circumference of the planet. I've had over 2,000 encounters with almost every species of dolphin and whale that you can imagine. We have more species of dolphins and whales off the coast of Southern California than anywhere in the world. And encounter number 2,000 with a dolphin was as good as encounter number one. Like, it just never gets old.
Yeah,
I go out there every day thinking this could be the last time I ever do this. Like, you know what I mean? You never know.
You never know.
And I treat it as such. Like, it just like a little kid every time I see them, and it never gets old. And I'm like, if I get to do this every day of the rest of my life,
amazing.
I couldn't ask for much more.
That is so awesome. And yes, that's exactly what I was referring to. So let's work our way backwards and talk about how the heck did you get there? And also, I'm curious, what specifically does Project O do?
Yeah, we'll get to that. So let's back up. I'll take you back to 1999. I was still
way back
in my late 20s, as late in your 20s as you could get. I became a coach. And this was kind of in 1999. I don't know if you were born yet.
Oh my gosh.
Coaching was a kind of a brand new industry. Some would say it's still not an industry, but in 1999, it definitely wasn't.
Right.
And over the years, I've done 18,000 coaching sessions.
Wait,
I started.
Have you counted them?
So when I started, I was a real estate coach.
Yes.
I worked for another coaching company. They would give me the clients, and I had like 50 clients at a time, and I would talk to every single one for 30 minutes every single week. If you do the math, talk to 50 people a week and do that for 10 straight years, Whoa. You too can have the infamous title of having done 18,000 coaching calls.
That actually sounds awful to me. It's, I mean,
it makes me want to puke. I've always said I don't ever want to be introduced as the guy that's done 36,000 coaching calls. I completely burned out. And I mean, without giving my whole life story, because I don't think anybody cares, I fast forward to 2008. I left a former coaching company and started my own coaching company and decided I don't want to do one-on-one coaching anymore. And that's when I started doing group programs. That's when I got really clear that my lifestyle, how I want to spend my time, was the most important thing. So I basically set up my life so that I could get up in the morning and go out on the ocean and do my thing every day. So it was really a lifestyle choice. And yeah, I just kind of burned out from one-on-one coaching, created this thing called the JV Insider Circle in 2013, which is a very simply a community of coaches, authors, speakers, experts, entrepreneurs who all come together to support each other. So they partner with each other, support each other, promote each other. So I basically went from one-on-one coaching to group coaching, 20 people in a mastermind or something, 20, 30 people on one, to now a community of hundreds of people to one. And I just basically show up once a month. Actually, I don't even do that anymore because my business partner handles it all. But I basically would show up for once a month and say hi.
Yeah.
But answering your question about Project O, the photography that I've done over the years just led to opportunities where there was a turning point story in 2015 where I paddled with a pod of four orcas right here, 2 miles off the coast of Laguna Beach. And the footage that I shot of these orcas just went like insanely global, viral. Like you couldn't buy that kind of publicity. And not only did it go viral to the public, but a lot of ocean organizations that I would want to have connected with in one day, they all called me.
Nice.
So it was Save the Whales and PETA and Mission Blue, which is Sylvia Earle, who's probably my only hero in the world, her organization. Like in one day, they all just contacted me. I was actually sitting at this exact desk that I'm at now, and I just started crying hysterically as this was happening. And that was my moment where I was like, oh, this thing, this hobby, this passion of mine now needs to become my life's work. It was the thing. So fortunately, I had my business already dialed into the point where I wasn't working a lot anyways. I basically said to my business partner, like, take it, run with this. I'm going over here to do what I can. It was basically kind of how you started this. So much that I've been given personally from the animals, from the critters out there. And this was my way. I needed to find a way to give back to the animals that have given so much to me. So I published a book called Blue Laguna, which is a photo book. I started this nonprofit called Project O. I work with another nonprofit, and it's all about protecting the ocean and the sacred life that lives in it. And every day I try to do some stuff that's going to help make a difference in the time that I have left on this planet. So that's my story.
Well, that is freaking awesome. I want to rewind a little bit though, to that point where you were leaving that job with the other business. So you were working as a coach for someone else and then deciding to go out on your own. Cause I know a lot of our audience that's listening right now is maybe in that exact position. I want to ask you, was there hesitation? Was there fear? Was there any, anything that came up that you might encourage those listening now just go?
No, I had no fear at all. I don't ever have fear, Mindy. Yeah, I was freaking terrified. No, not only did, okay. So I haven't told this story in a while.
Perfect.
This was in 2008, before you were born.
Exactly.
But for anyone that remembers what was going on in the economy.
I'm only like, 16 years old right now?
Exactly. You look good. You look great. The economy was falling down the tubes without touching the sides. But I was I hated what I was doing. I was working for this company that was just the most negative, fear-based, awful place to be. And I just remember thinking, I'm going to get sick, physically sick, if I stay in this energy, right? Like my body was telling me, you need to get out.
Get the hell out of here.
I didn't even have a choice. It was like, we're going to make you sick if you don't go do this. Like you've been tolerating this too long. And I just quit. And I was scared shitless for sure. I'm like, I thought I was going to lose everything, but I was like, my life is on the line here. I don't care. And it was very much a jump in the net will appear situation. And quite honestly, that's how I've lived my life ever since. I kind of find myself.
Did the net appear?
Always. Yeah, it did.
Oh, see, I didn't. I had a little different experience.
Oh, of me
because
or
in
yourself?
In that same exact time, 2007, 2008, yeah. I also was in a job that I call slow suicide to my soul.
Yes.
Like, it was not the right fit by any means. It was a pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, God.
Not my place. And in those years, I was like, I'm out. I'm going to become coach. I'm going to start my own business. And within 2 years, I was homeless, bankrupt, couldn't afford to eat, like all the bad things. Yeah. So the net came, but it came a lot later.
You fell right to the ground.
I was
10,000 feet.
My dreams turned into a nightmare. It was a disaster.
No, I think fortunately I had been coaching for so long. I knew a lot of people. I was able to get some clients and just stay afloat. So, yeah. But did I have fear? Absolutely. So, but I just look at it like life's too short. My health was on the line. If I didn't make a change, yeah. it was that slow. What did you call it? Slow suicide,
slow suicide
of
to
the
your soul.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like that's how I felt.
Yeah, I get it.
And I was like, I literally said, if I lose everything, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I didn't hit as far bottom as you did.
But that's the thing. Like, I also was okay with that. And it happened. Like, it did happen in my case, but I still was like, this is what I'm going to do. This is the dream. This is the vision. Like, whatever happens, I'm going to go for it. So that is awesome. And to make the point, it does help that you had been in that industry, that you had resources and referrals and all that stuff.
I did.
I was like, let me just start completely different in a new city. Yeah. Don't know anybody. Don't know anything about anything.
Yeah.
Let's go. And of course, I was just born also. So
yeah, you were like 2 years old. So who would hire a baby to coach them?
So let's tie this in a little bit to a money journey.
Yeah.
Because all of us, I mean, you heard my story, like crashed down, burned, like disaster. We all, to some extent, go through this, I would call it a money evolution. Can you talk a little bit about your money journey through these various things, especially like working for someone else to working for yourself to now in the nonprofit?
Wow. I haven't really thought about this in a while. I've always, ever since I started my company, it was success at the beginning. And when I look back, I'm like, how the hell did I survive?
Right.
Because I would wake up in the morning and I'd be like, I'm going to create a program. What was the first one? Oh, my first book was about the law of attraction. So I created a program about how to use the law of attraction. And then I was like, now I'm going to do a health program. So I created a health program. And then I was like, I want to teach people to live their dream lifestyle. And I was all over the place. I did exactly what I told people not to do.
Right. Well, I think we all do that in the beginning.
I somehow survived. And then I got lucky. I woke up one morning in 2000. It was January 28th, 2013, in the bedroom right behind where I'm sitting now. And at that time, I had built a very sizable email list. And I'd done it through using joint ventures. I started, like, if there's people, brand new online marketers listening right now, I had no list, just like everybody else. And through using joint ventures, I built a list of 10,000 people in 1 year. In 3 years, I built it to 50,000. All of a sudden, and I had a list of like 100,000 people. And I remember thinking, like, I can help other people do this. Like, at that time, it was only people really at a high level doing joint ventures, and people that were new to the game. It was like a secret country club and they didn't know the handshake. They couldn't get in the door. And I remember I had a phone conversation with someone about this, and I went to bed that night super frustrated because I was like, there's an idea here, but I don't know what it is. I went to sleep at 5 o'clock in the morning on the 28th of January. I just jumped out of bed. I was like, I got it. I got a $1 million idea. And that was to create a community of coaches, authors, and speakers teach them how to do joint ventures. But the magic would be that I'm going to throw them in this community where they can all support each
JV
other.
JV with each other.
And that was the birth of the JV Insider Circle, which quite honestly, for the last 10 years, has created the revenue that I live on, working very minimal hours, and has allowed me the freedom to go not only paddleboard every day and do what I love, but to start a nonprofit. And for anyone in the nonprofit world, if you want to make a lot of money, that's probably not the best place to do it.
I wouldn't recommend it.
However, for me, I was like, as long as I can continue to live the way I live, which is a very nice lifestyle on the beach, which is what I like, and try to do something to make a difference, I'm good with that. So it's a little scary, honestly, right now, because I basically, as I mentioned, I essentially gave JV Insider Circle, my baby, to my current business partner and said, run with it, because I need to be over here doing this. And I don't make a lot of money. I'm running a nonprofit. And so from a money standpoint, it's a little bit of that jump in the net will appear again. And I've been able to pull this off for a long time. If I honestly, looking back, Mindy, if I was smarter with my money and investments, I'd probably be in a much better financial situation. Only person that can say that. No, if I actually added up all the money that I've made over the years and never invested a dime and just stuck it under the pillow, I'd probably be, you know. But, you know, there's been financial crises, there's been real estate crashes, you know, all these things and that we all go through. So, and going to be more coming. So I think, I don't know if I'm the best guy in the world to give financial advice, but I think the best advice I can give is to figure out what is it that truly lights your soul up versus slow suicide of the soul.
Right.
And to me, that makes a person rich, right?
If they
can figure out what they love to do, go do it. Let that maintain their lifestyle. I mean, that's not a bad deal, I think.
I think it's an amazing deal. It's so much more important. And you may have just answered it, but just to clarify a little bit, this is a question I ask every single guest on this show. What does wealth mean to you, or what is your definition of wealth?
Oh, I thought the question you ask everyone is if they've done drugs with Sean Stevenson.
We're going to talk about that now. Don't worry. Do not worry.
I think I just answered it. Wealth, to me,
So like doing what you want to do, what lights your soul up.
Yeah, it's funny. Not funny at all. I always get sad when I think of Sean. And
it's you can
hilarious.
Say anything about Sean is pretty funny. Let's be clear.
I mean, it's sad and funny at the same time. But no, it's sad. The reason it just made me sad, because when I think about the person that truly mentored me on what wealth is, was a man I consider my spiritual father, my wellness mentor, who passed away a year ago, last month. No, this month. Mm-hmm. And for him, wealth, it was about being an energy millionaire.
Yes.
Yes, you want to be a financial millionaire and be financially secure. We live in a world where money is important. But for him, it was about energy and health and vibrance. If you had that, then you were wealthy.
So well, and also, how do you get to that money millionaire? Is like, that stuff helps too.
Hell yeah. Yeah. So for me, it's about health, energy, doing what you love, being surrounded by people that you love, being in a beautiful place that serves your soul. For me, it's being close to the ocean, on the ocean. For others, it could be in the woods or wherever, but yeah. In the desert. But it's just, yeah, that's wealth to me. It's how you spend your time.
Perfect. Now let's talk about this. You had an experience with my husband in a hotel room doing MDMA. Can you talk a little bit?
Wish I had an experience with you in a hotel room. That would be a better story. Okay. Do you remember what year this was? You rolled him into the room 6 years ago?
It would have been before 2019. That's all I know.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. So I'm in a Christian Michelson high-end mastermind.
Who's a mutual friend of all of ours.
Let's call it 6-7 years ago. I don't know.
Something like that.
I get out of an elevator and I see this guy in a wheelchair.
Right. Did you know him before that?
I see this guy in a wheelchair. Had no idea who he was. And he's a little different looking. And he's 3 feet tall. And there's this guy pushing him in the wheelchair. And I just remember having a visceral reaction, like he's different
looking. What's up
looking.
With this guy?
What's up with this guy?
Right.
I then walk into the conference room. There's like 30, 40 people, small mastermind. And all of a sudden, the dude in the wheelchair is in the room. And it's obviously Sean. And then later on that day, Sean gets up and he does a talk to the group. And the entire crowd is just bawling tears.
Yes.
And at the end of the talk, he says, hey, I'm going to make you guys a deal. If anybody wants, come to Scottsdale, Arizona, late summer, by the way, ill-advised.
So it's super hot.
Super hot. I will do a full day therapy session with you by trade. He was a therapist in exchange for promotion of this new speaking thing that he was launching. As far as I know, I was the only one that went up to him after and said, I'm in. I was so intrigued by him and his story. And over those,
I think that might be true, that you might have been the only one.
I don't remember exactly. And that's mildly irrelevant, but I think it was. Anyways, so we spent the next few days together. And by the end of that weekend, we're just like best friends.
Right.
He's just a freaking hilarious human being. I just kind of fell in love with him. And I was like, I want to come in late July and come to Scottsdale where it's 120 degrees. So this was probably like a month later. I fly to Scottsdale. Oh, well, let's back up. The night before I'm coming to Scottsdale, he calls me up. What's up, Sean? He says, I need you to bring $200 cash with you tomorrow. And I was like, well, what are you talking about? He's like, do you trust me? I said, yeah, I trust you. So I said, fine.
Typical Sean Stevenson.
Go to the ATM, grab a couple $100. Next morning, I hop on a plane, land at this little resort hotel thing. The next morning, Mindy rolls Sean into the room. But I woke up that morning and I'm extremely sick to my stomach. I didn't feel good. I felt sick.
It's
part of the story because my body tends to know things are going to happen before they happen. And so now he rolls in. There's a table. We sit down and he pulls out his little bag of stuff. And in the bag, I hope my parents are not watching this. He pulls out this little vial and he just puts it on the table. And I was like, what's that? And he says, it's MDMA. I said, okay. I'm like, I just figured out what I just spent $200 on. And he goes, you don't have to do this, but I found in my experience that if you were to take this, we will get a lot more accomplished today. It will just open up your heart, surpass your ego, cut out all the bullshit, and we'll get a lot done. And I was like, Sean, I got to tell you, I'm not really afraid of doing it. I said, but I don't feel good. I said, I woke up like, I just don't feel good. And he looked at me and he said, trust me on this one, Rich. In about 17 minutes, you're going to be really glad that you
feel really good.
You're going to be really glad that you took it. And I said, okay, Sean, I trust you. So he takes the vial. He doesn't give me the whole thing, just like a small dose of it. I don't remember how much. I think I drank it. And then he takes his iPhone, pulls out his phone, opens the timer, and just hits the timer.
Go.
Just sat there for 17 minutes and say a word. And then it was almost to the second. For anyone that's ever done MDMA, it's Molly. It's pure ecstasy, right, is what it is. And it was like almost to the second. All of a sudden, you just feel this whap in the back of your head. And then it was this wild 6-hour journey. And we never left the room because it's 120 degrees. And so the part of the story that's even maybe more unique is that, like, all of a sudden, you're just like extremely high. And I'm sitting there face to face with Sean, who is a unique looking individual.
Yes.
And he's just sitting there smiling. And I remember him asking me all these questions. And there was moments where I was just like the main reason that I wanted to do that. I remember when I signed up for it, I was going through a really hard time with my parents. And I was like, oh, maybe this will help. You know, I can heal some of this old stuff with my parents. And I remember sitting there, I'm just like rolling. I'm so high. And he would like say, like, so Rich, you know, tell me about your childhood with your parents. And I, one time I looked at him, I'm like, Sean, I just need, can I swear on your podcast?
Please, please do.
I mean, we're talking about drugs. I said, Sean, I just need you to shut the fuck up right now.
And just a moment.
And let me enjoy this. So, yeah, it was a wild 6-hour day. And I was trying to think of this earlier because I had a feeling that you would want to talk about this. But there was such a healing moment where he said one thing that it was basically like I was holding all this stuff against my parents for years. I was like fighting this battle against them. And he just basically said, like, why are you like, put your gun down, dude? Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you still holding this gun?
Yeah.
This happened 30 years ago. And I just remember in that moment just being like, you're right. Like, what am I doing? And I just, it was a huge letting go. And it was probably 6-7 hour experience. And then you came back and picked us up. And I think we went to we went to dinner.
I can't even remember.
We went to some mall and had dinner and flew home the next day. And I'll never forget that story. I've never told that story publicly. So I'm really glad that this came up. And
yeah, heard it here first.
Heard it here first and probably never again. And I've only met Sean a handful of times, and you know, we'd go to these events like Christians, and I'd see him every year, maybe a couple times a year, and we would just text funny stuff to each other. He was, as you know, just one of the funniest people ever.
A true comedian.
Oh God. And I remember one other thing I do remember of that day. He just said, say something insulting to me. Just insult me. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Again, I'm really high. Like, that's the last thing I want to do. And he's like, no, do it. Like, he forced me to say like the meanest possible thing I could say to him.
What did you come up with?
Oh, I can't even say it. It was so mean. No, I'll sound so like a curious. I'll sound like a total dick if I say it. I'll tell you. It was just mean. And he was trying to prove the point, like, nothing, you couldn't insult him.
Yeah, it doesn't
impact. He's so unattached to what anybody thinks about him. That's how strong and secure he was. I remember that, and the thing about just put the weapon down, dude. Like, what are you fighting? What are you fighting for? What are you gaining? No, it was honestly, it's a funny story. Hopefully people feel that.
I mean, we think it's funny, so.
Yeah, but it was just, I don't know how you, I'm going to throw it back at you. What was it like having him every single day? And then he was just such a unique special guy. And then just gone.
Well, I want to say one thing just to kind of set the record straight based on something you said. Yes, at some times and in some contexts, he had just bulletproof confidence. That wasn't always the case. Mm. Like, he was highly, highly impacted, especially because of his visibility online. People would say things about him online, and it really like intensely impacted him. Whereas I'm like, you don't even know that person. That person's probably a douchebag living in their mother's basement, like being an idiot online. Like, why are you even letting that impact you? And it would. So like in that context where he's the therapist and like, you're the client, I mean, absolutely. But I don't want to like paint this picture of him as someone who was bulletproof and, you know, he was not immune to that kind of stuff. So there's that. And secondly, one thing I will tell you is that in a way, sort of how you said your body lets you know things in advance, you know, whether you call that intuition, whatever you want to call it. For me, I always had the sense that it was not going to last long because of he was going to die. So even in times, like I remember being in our bedroom in Scottsdale, he was out in the other room. We had had some little spat about something. And I remember telling myself, like talking myself down from whatever that issue was, because I was like, this isn't going to be forever. Like, you're not going to have him for a long
extended
time.
Not going to be an old lady.
Let's get over it and like freaking enjoy what we do have. So we really did focus on that and just paid attention to what do we want to create? What's the life we want to create? Who are the people we want to be surrounded by? What are the things that we want to do? And maybe even more importantly, who are the people that we don't want to be surrounded by, and made some pretty big distinctions on that.
Wow.
And for me then, what helped in like the not having him here is all the freaking work he and I did. Like, we were always into self-improvement, personal development. I've taught heart intelligence for apparently since I've been born. And so it was that really allowed me to not have any grief. Like, that I grieved, and I grieved hard, and like, that was all I did for a time. But I knew it was just for a time. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm like, let's move forward. And that's what's happened.
I can't even find the words to acknowledge you enough, because I'm like, I get sad. Like I said, I met him a handful of times and I want to cry. Like, I'm holding back from crying right now when I think about it. I can only imagine what you went through, and it must still, you know, there's just got to be memories, the thoughts, things that happen every day. I mean, how do you? It was just that unique of an individual. So,
yeah. It was, but there are also lots of unique individuals, and there are just beautiful experiences. And, you know, a lot of people will say, like, you know, how are you doing? And I always, I'm like, life is good.
Good.
Because it is. It's true. And I took the time to grieve hardcore. Like, I went to the desert in California 2.5 months by myself. That was all I did.
Wow.
And how did I have the luxury to do that? Because we had our own business, because of being an entrepreneur. So, like, similarly to you, you've been able to make decisions and choices in your life because of what you built back then.
Yeah. And I like what you said about not only deciding who you want to spend time with, but who you don't want to spend time with. That is really resonating me right now. There's a couple things happening in my life right now, and I'm just like, no, I'm not going to deal with that kind of person anymore, that kind of energy. It's like, it's not worth it. And that's been a huge learning. It's hard to cut ties in situations.
Oh, yeah. It can be very, very difficult. But to your point, even earlier in our conversation, when you were talking about, you know, why would I go out to the ocean like every day? It might be the last day. And so if any of these are our last day, which clearly can happen, like Sean's situation, it was a freaking normal day. And then, you know, within 4 hours, he was gone. Why would you want to spend any time with people who are not lighting you up, encouraging you, supporting your vision? You know, if they're toxic, I'm like, I don't have time for that.
No, same. Yeah.
Good. All right. So let's move on. I love asking this question to people because I learned so much about like how they are, not necessarily who they are. So it's based on this acronym called HERB, H-E-R-B.
I'm listening. I like it so far.
kind of ties in with other things we've talked about. So I'll walk you through each step of the way. The H stands for habits. Now, we know you get up, you go to the ocean, you paddleboard. But what other habits have helped you to like achieve the things that you've achieved or be successful as you have been?
Oh, we're going one by one. I thought you were going to give me all four letters.
No, we're going to. I don't expect you.
I had a pen. I was going to write them all down.
Let's start with H.
Habits. I always love this little equation that discipline equals freedom. That if you truly want freedom in your life, it requires discipline.
So I have habits, some structure.
We talked about my habit of getting on the ocean every day, which is, that is a lot of things in one. It's exercise, it's meditation. I used to teach meditation. I used to do a lot of meditation. My main meditation now is more of a moving meditation out there on the ocean, especially being with the dolphins. There's nothing I do in life that brings me more into the moment than being with them. I think that other big habit that comes to mind is nutrition. Just putting good foods in your body. So that's definitely a habit. So yes, exercise, meditation, the nutrition. I think those
nature.
Being in nature. I think humans we've really kind of grown to be disconnected from the earth and from nature. And it's a huge challenge.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, especially with phones and social media and whatnot. So I think that's a habit too. I'd say I'll stop there. You got three more letters to go through. Those are the main ones.
Three more to go. Okay. So the E is environment. And obviously part of that is like being out on the ocean, but when you're not on the ocean, how do you set up whether it's your workspace, your living space, your car, whatever, like to be the most productive, to be the most successful?
So this is where I work. So I'm either on the ocean, on the beach, or right here where I'm looking at the ocean right now. I work from home. I'm always here. So I like a nice, clean, fairly minimalist environment. I don't do well in clutter. So I just like to keep it a simple environment as possible.
I'm right there with you. I can't tell you how much, I mean, you might know, but my husband, oh my God, he likes to buy stuff.
Oh,
not just like one thing, but like 15 of the same thing. So it has been a great, exciting thing for me over the last 4 years to be like, I don't need all this shit. Let me get rid of this.
In 2005, end of 2005, I was living in Key West, Florida. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I was married. I got a divorce. I moved to an island, Key West, Florida, a small island. And I got wiped out by a hurricane. What was it? October of 2005. It was right on the heels of Hurricane Katrina. And in that one moment, lost everything. Everything.
Yikes.
And decided that was my sign from the universe to get the hell out of Florida. I had a business opportunity to work with that real estate coaching company. Comes back around to that. In California, I moved to California January 6th of 2006. I showed up here with two duffel bags, everything I owned in the world, and two duffel bags. And as hard as it was to lose everything, and this was pre-digital, so I lost all of my photo albums, and scrapbooks, and all that stuff gone forever. But it was very liberating to lose, to have no stuff.
It really is.
And then I remember when I started buying more stuff, I was like, ooh, this felt kind of weird.
I totally get it. Cause I literally gave away after Sean died. I mean, my friends who were there with me in Scottsdale, I was like, just get rid of everything. And they were like, man, like you go might need some like kitchen pans or something. Like you might want that. And I'm like, I don't even care. I'll just buy it again if I need it. Like, just get rid of it. I don't even want to see it. So I was like a maniac about that. I understand. Okay. On to the R.
Yeah.
The R stands for resources. That could be books, it could be programs, it could be courses, it could be whatever. But what resource, I mean, I know there's 80 trillion of them, but what resources have maybe made a like huge impact on you and that you'd recommend to others?
I used to read a lot and now I read very little. And I'll read the same books over and over and over.
Got it.
Instead of, I'm going to read this book, not implement 15. It, and then go on to the next one and the next one and the next one.
Yeah.
I just have a handful of books that I will read over and over and over. I barely even read those anymore. I feel best when I'm creating. So whether I'm shooting photography and editing it, like I enjoy the editing process almost as much as being out, having the experience. So creating for me is a very healing thing. But there's definitely, I mean, what immediately went through my head is a handful of books that I love. And then just some really high level people in my life that if I need something, they're my resource. There's just a handful of people I can call and just be like, hey, I'm dealing with this situation. What do you think? You know, and we just have conversations. I would consider that my most precious resources. And the dolphins. The dolphins are actually my greatest teacher. People, in fact, one of the common questions I get from people is, especially from the woo-woo people in my life, they're like, do you communicate with the dolphins? Or like, do they communicate to you? You know, you spend a lot of time with them. Are they giving you messages? And as much as I'd like to say, oh, yes, they tell me, you know, these profound spiritual messages, I'm like, no. They don't communicate anything, but I will tell you this, when I'm with them, I am incredibly in the moment. I am not thinking about what happened earlier. I'm not thinking about what I need to do later. I am fully, for the most part, present and in the moment. And if you look at any great spiritual book ever written, they all kind of say the same thing. It's all about learning to be in the moment.
Yep.
And I'd say that is that present moment awareness experience of being on the ocean and being with the animals. That's the greatest lesson of all, I think.
I love that. I just read a book and for me, it was definitely like further on the woo spectrum than I normally go. But one of the things that they talked about in the book was that dolphins and whales are conscious of their consciousness. So as opposed to lesser conscious mammals or animals, that dolphins and whales actually were aware that they can be aware, which I was like, ooh, I love that.
What book is this?
I can't remember the name of it, but it's by Mike Dooley and another lady.
Oh,
I can.
Mike Dooley wrote a book about dolphins and whales.
So it's him talking to this woman who channels from her, whatever, like some other entity. So that's what I'm saying. It's more woo than like I would normally read.
Yeah.
Whatever the title is, I'll have to look it up and then I'll post it in the show notes.
Yeah,
but it was really interesting to hear about that because I was like, I love that concept that they are aware that of their own awareness, right? Like we are. Well, some.
Yeah,
some
I would.
Of us,
I would.
Some of us are.
Exactly. Good point. Yeah, a few of us. I think that before I would have 10 years ago, I would have said that humans were the only animal conscious of their own consciousness. But I would say now, looking at how whales and dolphins live and how they are with each other, that they're more conscious than most humans.
That I believe absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, no question.
It's funny because I'm working on a new talk and I'm like, that could be part of it. Like the lessons I've learned from just observing how they live. Like dolphins are the only animal besides humans that have sex just for pleasure. And they'll be in this pod and they're just constantly having sex with each other. I've never seen them get jealous. I've never seen them get weird. If they go up to a bait ball of fish to eat, if it was humans going up to this big ball of fish, we would destroy the entire bait ball and destroy the environment.
Yes.
But dolphins will go up to the bait ball. They'll feed on it just for a couple minutes and then they'll leave and they'll go find the next one. At first, I was like, why would they do that? They could have all the food, like, they want right here.
They're already enlightened.
They leave it intact, then they go on to the next one. And by the way, the entire time they're just playing and joyful. Like they just live in the state that we would aspire to be in.
Yes.
Living in a state of just total joy, playing 24/7. That's the state they live in. So
I love that. Yeah. I would ask you though to state maybe a couple of the books that you have enjoyed, because I'm a huge book nerd and I really love talking about that.
I would say my favorite, the book that's been my Bible for many years, is called Eye of the Eye. Of the letter I, by David Hawkins. It's the third book in a trilogy that started with Power versus Force. You kind of need to read Power versus Force before you get to Eye of the Eye. But Eye of the Eye for me has been like a Bible for years. I think it was 2000 when Power of Now came out. And like I said, most books kind of say the same thing about the power of the present moment.
But yeah.
Something about the power of now just resonated with me, especially the time of my life when I read it. It was right after that divorce I mentioned. I always loved the book I probably read the most is The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. That was the first spiritual book I ever read. My ex-wife gave it to me. I remember her handing it to me. She goes, I don't know if you're ready for this book. And I read it. This was a long time ago. And I've read that book. I used to read it every single year for probably 12 years. Love it. It's a great story. Those would be the three.
I love that. So the B in herb stands for beliefs. What are some of your beliefs or maybe worldviews, the ways in which you see the world, that have really helped you create the life that you have created?
Oh my God. What?
You, oh my God.
Was that dramatic? Sorry. It's a big question.
A little bit. Little drama.
Sorry. That's a big question. No, it's just with some things I've been going through recently, it's questioned my faith in humanity.
Oh, good. I think it should be questioned.
I've been thinking a lot about this lately. So I'm actually, I don't know when this is going to air, but I'm in the process of getting a license to do host the TEDx event here in Laguna Beach, TEDx Laguna Beach.
That is awesome.
Thank you. I'm super excited about it. And that what that means is I'll be the MC, but also I'm going to do a TED talk. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to talk about? And for me, it's about like, what the working title I have is The Consciousness of Change. Like, human beings, in my view, are basically destroying this planet.
Everything.
If all 8 billion of us were gone tomorrow, the planet would be in much better shape. So it's not about, this is actually the first time I've spoken this out loud, so bear with me. It's not about saving the ocean. It's not about saving the planet. If anything needs to be saved, it's us. And when you look at what does that mean, it can be overwhelming. And I think ultimately it boils down to each individual raising their own consciousness. And as you raise your consciousness, you're playing some role in raising the collective consciousness of the planet. And as your consciousness evolves, you'll start making better decisions for yourself in terms of how you act and how you think and how you believe and how you eat and you take care of yourself and you take care of your family and you take care of your community. And then it just kind of grows from there. So I think that's the belief that I've been playing with for a long time now. And kind of to bring this full circle, years ago now, it was like 15 years ago, I actually thought my purpose in life was to be a meditation teacher, basically a spiritual teacher. And I just remember thinking, like, it just felt like such an egotistical thing. I'm going to be a spiritual teacher. I was like, I don't know. I don't think that's it. And then that kind of led me to the ocean and somehow this falling in love with being on the water and the dolphins and the whales and doing that every single day. And it's just now coming full circle for me. Like, instead of putting myself out as this spiritual teacher, helping to raise consciousness, I can do it through what I'm saying now, like through the ocean. And it's not about me. And I don't know, it just kind of feels better. But that's my belief. If we want to change the world, it's us changing ourselves.
Rich, there is no more important message than that. Like, that comes from so many different traditions. And it's like, hello, do the work. Internally. And then, yes, that contributes to the whole. I love that. Can't wait for your event. This is awesome.
Oh, thank you. I'm still working on, like, what is that actually going to look like and package it into a talk. So this is all over the last couple of days. So it's just still evolving, but thank you. That's good affirmation that we're onto something with that at least.
Oh, I think you're onto something huge. And like I said, hugely important. So stoked about that. One more question.
Okay.
If you were to speak directly to someone on the other side of this thing, someone listening right now or watching us on YouTube, and they're just in the struggle or they're in the fear or they're in the desperation or the whatever that so many of us have gone through, what hope or inspiration might you offer them?
Been there, first of all. I would say congratulations.
Oh, I love that. Yes. Yes.
Congratulations.
You're making it.
Yeah. Like, you can't get to where you ultimately want to be without going through that fear and that struggle. And to hear you say, Sean is a great example. I looked at him, someone like pretty much bulletproof. And you're like, nope. Like, we all have it. I'm going through it right now. I freaking hate how sensitive I am. And when bad shit happens, it just makes me sick to my stomach. And it's just part of the whole human experience. But like, if you're in the shit, you know, what was the great line? If you're walking through shit, keep walking, like,
keep going.
Just keep going. And that's, you know, you can wallow in it, which is what I think most people do. I think it's kind of like I said on the resources part, like, find people that can help grab your hand and walk you through those dark times. It's hard to do on your own. It's surround yourself with, you know, consume content like what you're putting out here, Mindy. Like, we need that. Like, our mind is a scary place, right? It's that bad neighborhood. Don't go there alone.
Exactly.
And just keep working through it. And at the same time, learn to observe it. Like, even what I'm going through, some really hard stuff right now. And even as hard as when I'm in it, it's like, I can still pull myself back and just observe and just be like, it's not that big of a deal. And I think that's maybe the great lesson. Life is not meant to experience and be in it as much as just observe. Like, you're here. Like, somehow you wound up on this planet, which is, as far as we know, the only planet. I'm sure there's others somewhere, but it's the only one we know of that has the resources and the beauty and this thing called oxygen that we can breathe. Like, it's a freaking miracle.
And just sunlight. Like, sunlight. At the exact right place, not too close, not too far.
Yeah. Well, where you are, there's parts that are a little too hot.
A little more of it.
A whole
here,
other conversation. But, like, there's a great song called Bergs, Burgs.
Okay.
And it's basically this guy named Bergs talking. I'm going to look. I'm going to find it on my computer right now. It's this, I think he's from the UK or something. He's got some kind of accent like that. And there's a band called Mount Wolf. And they put music to this guy's talk. And that's basically what he's saying. He's like, you're not here to do. You're here just to observe. And like this magical place that we're at. And I think we get so stuck in our head and the drama of life and whatnot that we forget that we're here. Like, just look around. It's a pretty amazing place. And that's where, to kind of bring this full circle, when I see what we're doing to this planet, it's just super upsetting. And so, can I actually make a difference? I don't know. But what better
have you
use
already? Yes.
I don't know. Thank you. But I don't know. But like, what else? What's a better use of my time than trying to? For me, it's more about the animals. Like, I have plenty of moments where I doubt humans. And if I can protect these animals that can't really protect themselves, that's what I want to do. That makes sense.
It does.
Thank you for that.
Of course. Now, if our listeners are like, holy shit, this guy's amazing. I want to check out his stuff and I want to follow him. Where should they go?
I would start with Instagram. Instagram is where I post dolphin videos and photos and stuff like that. So it's Rich German LB, Rich GERMANLB, like Laguna Beach. I'm also on Facebook. You can give links to our websites for anyone that wants to look at the ocean stuff and whatnot. But I would say Instagram's, to me, it's the most visual thing that shows like what I get to experience every day.
Love it. So go check out his stuff. It truly is amazing. This is like the reason that I'm like, Rich, I need to have you on this podcast. I want to have this conversation to talk about what you're doing. This has been absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for your time, your thoughts, your heart that you were very transparent with. Totally appreciate you.
I appreciate being here. I just want to say in closing, like when you invited me, I absolutely would have done this just for you because I love you. But it was more to be on Sean's platform, the person that has meant so much to me and so many millions of people around the world. What did I say? I said, it would be my honor. And Mindy was like, chill down, you know, chill out a little bit.
I was like, let's not get carried away with that.
And then I was like, yeah, forget it. I'll pass. No, I'm in all seriousness, Sean, I think about him all the time, as I'm sure you do. And it's an honor to be here. So thank you.
Thanks ever so much for listening. Whenever you're ready, here are three ways I can help you create a more lucrative life. 1, subscribe for free to my lucrative newsletter for weekly insights on business, money, and mindset. 2, join Club Lucra to connect with a like-minded community so that you don't have to go it alone. 3, work with me one-on-one to chart the course from where you are to where you want to be. Everything you need is at lucra.com. That's LUCRA.com. Lucra, where wealth equals well-being.